podcast where you get an open and honest conversation about life. Here are your hosts, Tanya and Janine.
And we are back. Hey, listeners, how's everything going? It's been a little while since you've heard from us, so we've taken a little bit of a break or hiatus, however you want to say it. But we're back. And we think we're back at a time that's more important than ever. So, Jay, Janine, tell me what you've been up to on your break.
Just at home with the kids. Home with the kids and homeschool. And I get to do a lot more cooking and improvising. So it definitely has its ups and it definitely has its downs, but it's been a little scary of a situation, but I think we're dealing with it.
So it's been a couple months since we've launched an episode. I want to say before Christmas. Sorry. So before Christmas, we had a wonderful episode out, which we were able to go live with a guest. And, you know, we took a break with the holidays coming, and I had taken on a temporary work assignment that somehow extended from 1 month into 2 months.
Right.
You know, I was pretty much doing like a 7-day-a-week work week, and it became a little bit challenging for us to kind of jump on a call and be able to record. Now we're going to back up for a second because, you know, everyone's home right now because of the damn corona. So you're going to hear either our kids in the background.
Right.
Or so please bear with us. But like Janine said, it's, you know, now we're homeschooling and what have you. So, you know, you can hear a little background noise, but we're moms. So on that note, I know many of you guys are moms. So I'm hoping that you guys will have some understanding as it pertains to when we're able to record.
Right.
So, I mean, Janine, you and I both felt that now is the perfect time to make sure that we're getting back on the horse and having folks hear us because there's a lot going on.
It is.
Yeah. This coronavirus has made me want to drink many Coronas. But
I've decided another brand because anything that got Corona in it is just not for me.
Okay, no lie, we've been drinking, well, I don't really like it, I'm not a big beer person, but I have tried some Modelo's because no, we didn't buy Corona either.
I like Modelo. I like Modelo.
Really? I don't know, I did the Modelo Dark. Yeah, this is not good.
We can't even my bae, we try not to say names on the podcast, but my bae, he introduced me to this beer that it tastes pretty good. It's different. I don't know if you can get it any everywhere, because I sure didn't see it in where we're from in South Carolina. So, but I thought it was pretty good. It's a copper. And it's pretty good. It has a different type of taste to it. So,
is it a beer?
It's a beer. You know, I'm a wine than I am beer and like liquor. I like to drink wine, like Merlot and Rizzling, like that. I like that. I don't like anything like really, really overpoweringly sweet. So, I mean, to each his own, but that's just me. And I had like I don't even know if I told you, but I have totally had a run-in with a guy in the store. I don't know if I told you. He was trying to, so I had grabbed a bottle of Merlot, and I was getting into the line because I was kind of like, oops, I said my daughter's name. Oh, well. So my child was in the line because she's the oldest. And so she was in the line. And so then I run up with the for sale bottle of Merlot. And the only thing that made me think about it was the person that was in front of me, I guess, kind of racked up. I promise you, this dude had like six or seven bottles of it. And I was like, it's good, but it ain't that dang good. And so when I put the bottle up there, the guy behind me says, he says, oh, he said, you had, how he said that thing? He said, you had to get the most important thing, huh?
Dang right.
No, I got offended by it. I did. I got totally offended by it. And I was like,
Wait, was he being sarcastic?
He was being sarcastic. Totally was being sarcastic. And so what I did was, is I just addressed it. I said, actually, no. I said, the most important thing is one, two, three, and four. And I counted out the kids. And then I said, in my shotgun, that's the most important thing. And then he just looked at me real kind of blank face after that. But then when I had the groceries and I paid cash, that really blew his mind, I guess. Yeah, you got the wrong one, boo. Yeah.
I thought he was saying,
Stop
like, trying to be
stereotyping people. Like, I
funny.
hate that. That's one thing that people tend to do with stereotypes. Stop stereotyping. You don't know anything about me. Anything. For you to make such a judgment call behind me actually purchasing a bottle of Merlot. That has been okay. So, how long we've been on lockdown? About 2 or 3 weeks now, and I still have some left. So, there you have it.
Man, I thought he was trying to be cute and funny. Okay,
Yeah,
that was rude.
it was straight rude. And even if he was trying to be, cute or funny or whatever, I didn't find it comical. I found it like disrespectful. So I could have very well taken it the wrong way because I am on the defensive a lot. That's just, things that happen kind of can put you in that kind of a mind frame. So maybe it really was me, but I got totally offended by it. I was like, no, come on.
I read a story on, of course, Facebook. I'm sure everyone out there is pretty much on social media, even more so than ever. But I'd read a story about a woman who went to go get dog food, and the lady behind her, and it was a sarcastic comment, said something pretty similar to what this fellow said to you about, you came here to get just that. And the woman says to her, she turns around to the lady, says, "Yes, so when we run out of food, my dog will be nice and fat so we could eat him." Don't know if this is, one of those rumor stories that are not legit, but apparently it shocked the woman so much, but she was with her daughter. The daughter started crying. I'm like, well, that's what you get for opening up your mouth.
Mind your business.
Oh, I think one of my husband's aunties may have posted something like that. And I was like, wow, you go.
Right.
But, that's right. People need to stay in
It's a
their lane,
stressful,
mind your
yeah, because it's a
business.
stressful time for everybody. So there's a point where comedy is great. There is, because you still need that. You need to laugh. You need to joke. You need to have those outlets that are norm. But it's a time, and there's a way with all of that. And I just didn't like his approach. So I don't know what he was looking for, but he probably did not get the answer he probably thought he was going to get.
You know what? I had somebody do that to me at Target, but this was pre-corona, completely pre-corona. There's these yogurts that I like. They're not cheap, but I like them, so I will spend a little money on them. And I had bought a bunch of them, and the lady behind me, she had, I guess she was, we were in Target, and she had her kids with her, and I was by myself. And she had the nerve to actually comment on the fact of how many yogurts I was buying. And I was like, you ignorant ass. I kindly ignored her. And then I spoke in length with the person who was checking me out just to piss her ass off. Because if you're in such a rush that you feel like you need to comment on what I'm buying, I'm going to take my sweet ass time. Would you like this extended warranty? Sure. You know what? I absolutely will take this just because the person behind me is
in a rush. And I'm not in a rush. So I'm going to let them know that I'm going to take my time.
Yeah. Seriously. Well, she was not a happy camper, but I'm like, if you are so miserable with your wife, don't take that shit out on anybody else, please. Right. But again, that was pre-corona. You know, folks, we are dealing with times that are unprecedented. We don't really know, you know, the right thing to do, or, you know, certainly our government doesn't really know. everything's coming in phases, but, you know, we're all in this together, and that's why we were thinking that, you know, we need to break our hiatus and get back in the saddle and be there for our people, the folks that, you know, like you, that are listening to us. So, you know, we kind of, you know, everyone does something different. So in our household, we're really limiting as much as possible how much we're going out. You know, my husband is in what they consider an essential field. I'm also in a field that's also considered essential because I'm in real estate. But, you know, families like yours and mine, we're all having to face the question of, hey, do I go out there and put myself and my family at risk and work with clients or construction fields like my husband is? Or do we stay home? And, you know, so many of you out there are having to make those tough decisions. So it's not easy. You know, it's stressful because you've got the whole pandemic that you're dealing with, but then you're also dealing with the financial piece.
Right. Which is that's the part that has kind of stressed me out, the financial part of it, because the financial part of it, of course, is stressful. You know, me personally, the dynamics of my household is just my income, you know, and so and I don't have one of those essential jobs. Like I, you know, I don't want to put what I do, but you know, I work for the school district. So, you know, if I'm not at work, if they were out of school, then that's going to affect me financially. So that is a little stressful.
Yeah.
I might need to go do a bottle of Merlot.
Grab two of them.
Get my priorities together.
I mean, I think it's great that we've got, you know, this stimulus package that's supposed to be coming our way, and it is a one-shot deal, but hopefully that'll help tie lots of families over. Well, you know, tied us through that original, you know, initial wave where.
I'm sorry. He's being extra right now. What do you want? I'm so sorry. He's sweeping the floor. I wish I could go. I could still get this on the camera. Okay. I'm sorry. Go ahead, babe.
So for families out there, you know, it's a good thing that, you know, we've got a stimulus package that should hopefully tide us over for maybe another month until this dies down. Where we are, well, yeah, I can say we because that's safe right now. Where we are, you know, we've got another 30 days when we're talking about a quarantine for our state, North Carolina. And hopefully that'll stimulus package will help, you know, at least North Carolinians and other states at least maintain their households as best as they can.
Right. And then the stimulus package is greatly appreciated, but My fear is that most people, and this is statistics, this is not like, you know, most people are like a paycheck away from, you know, financial ruin, you know, a paycheck away from not being able to have lights, or a paycheck away from mortgages. So I don't know, as far as even with that, what's going to still be coming. And I know no one can foresee that. I mean, no one really knows, but you know, once savings, and this is, because it's great that a lot of companies are like, okay, so for this month or this month, we're not going to be doing late charges, or we're going to help you out. But what about when this month and this month is over? What about when March and April is over with, and now we're into, you know, June?
And then you're 3 months behind, or whatever that may be.
So you're working with me now, but when is that limited? Is it going to be limited right when I need it? Because March and April, okay, so yeah, it's a little bit of a struggle, but not as much as it will be months after. If you can understand what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. Because ideally, if, you know, we're it's not going to peak here for another 2 weeks. That's what they're saying on the news. That won't peak here in our state for another 2 weeks. But so that means we're not going to really know the impact of this for another 2 to 3 weeks. And they're calling for 30 days. This could certainly leave room for possibly having to extend it. So then,
right. And that's what I'm saying. So everybody's like really excited about these stimulus package and these 2 months of food stamps that everybody keeps going around saying stuff about. But at the end of the day, these 2 months are probably not what's going to really hit people. I mean, it is, but not as far as the aftermath. I'm sorry, what was I saying?
What happens after? The stimulus package
is great, and knowing that you can eat these 2 months and save some money that way, that's great. But that's 2 months. Like, even I don't want to say who I have my mortgage with, but even my mortgage company is like, okay, so for these 2 months, March and April, no late fees, no extra accrued for late payments. That's great, but these are these 2 months. Most people are not even going to be affected until about May or June, maybe July, depending on what they have in their savings. You understand what I'm saying?
Absolutely. I mean, and like you said earlier, you know, there are a lot of families that, you know, they're one paycheck away from severe financial, I'm trying to think of the way I'm saying it, but you guys know what I mean. Like, one paycheck away from not being able to pay your mortgage or your rent. So if we're just talking one lump sum, that's great. But then what's going to come next, since we don't know what's going to happen? So what are your thoughts on the stay-at-home orders that have been implemented between both of us?
Okay, now the truth be told, how do I feel about the stay-at-home orders? I feel like they should have did that a long time ago. That's how I honestly got feel. I feel like when they first started having cases here, hold on. I think if they would have did it a little bit sooner, we wouldn't have as much of the spread as we do. I feel like they should have took drastic measures in the beginning. That's how I feel. And the stay at home and stay in place, I have my views on it, because they're making these new laws, like we discussed one time before, and they say, you know, it's because of this coronavirus, but how long are these laws going to get to stay in place? And that's my concern, because some of these laws that they were creating because of this coronavirus is saving lives, but they're also infringing on our rights as well. So I have some concerns there. Like, let's save lives, but how long are these laws are going to be implemented? Because now that they're yeah. here, how long are they going to stay here?
Yeah, I mean, ideally, you know, the powers that be, you know, they won't use this as an excuse to kind of implement this in other areas. I mean, this is a national crisis. It's a global crisis. It's not just here. But ideally, you know, I mean, from my mouth to God's ears, you know, please let this just be for managing this crisis, where at some point that this will be lifted. Because you're right, it's kind of concerning. Like, well, you know, now that it's here, what's going to happen? Is it going to stay here indefinitely?
Because they don't have an obligation. What the law has, what obligations do you have to retract that law?
Yeah.
You know, because we have laws on the book that are old as all get out. But it's still a law. Now, whether you get arrested for it, that's one thing, you know. But I'm just saying, you know. So I'm you know, I think about that, like the whole having to have a letter to leave your house and go to work. Like, that's so back in the day slave stuff. I mean, master say we can go. Here go my letter.
Yeah. Well, I know that, you know, I appreciate it for what it is right now. And hopefully that's all it's going to be, because, I mean, this is, we don't know what the impact is going to be. You know, this virus is a version of something that we've seen before, but the way that it's spreading, the way that it's different from what we've seen, right? So there's not enough data. And I don't know if it's the same in your state. They're not testing everybody here. So there's people who could potentially be walking around with it, and they're only testing a certain set of people. If you're having mild symptoms, they're not going to test you. If you're over 60 and you have a fever, they're going to test you. But what about everybody else? So the data, I think, is wrong. So they don't really know there's no real data on what this impact is. And I'm a big believer in knowing the numbers. So we have no way to know the real numbers, which is very frustrating. And what I think is very weird about this whole situation is, you know, this is how it's being approached in my state. You know, you've got, these are certain parameters before you can get tested. But it seems to me like you've got all these famous people who had very easy access to
tested. They got money. So they got money.
Right. Because they've got money. And this kind of leads to a bigger issue, right? So I'm a multimillionaire. I'm whatever. I'm rich beyond belief. I can get tested, get my family tested, early testing. So that way we can, the earlier you test, the better, right?
Well,
but then the average Joe has no access to it because of the restrictions that are put into place. So there's such a difference between those who have money versus the people who don't have money, and how easy it will be for you to get a test, which is frustrating to me. You know, I'm a big believer in fighting for the underdog. You know, I think we come from a long line of people who may have had that same mindset. And to see it happening without it, you know, no one's actually saying it, but it's clear as day when you read the news, you know, this famous person got tested and this famous person, they're positive. So how come they're able to get tested?
Right.
Why can't Joe Schmo from down the block, and I'm not saying that's the case, but why can't Joe Schmo from down the block get access to a test? They should be testing everybody, because that means that they don't know the numbers, they don't know the ramifications, and they have no idea what they're working with, because not everyone's being tested, which is dumb.
I agree with that. And I also, well, I'm not trying to be funny, but the rich people being able to get tested, and that's nothing new. That's something that we have dealt with since the beginning of time, rich versus everybody else.
Yeah.
So that's like, it's not surprising. It's nothing new. And it's probably not going to change because it's always that social status. It is what it is. I mean, unfair, yes, but hey, life is unfair that way. But that's reality. And to be honest, how is it beneficial? And this is just my personal opinion. If I could go down there and get tested right now, at worst case scenario, I'm tested positive. How is that beneficial? Because there's no cure. There's nothing in like how is it beneficial?
Well, I tell you
Okay.
how I see it. The
Okay.
benefits of it, the benefits of it is one, you have it. So that means you can stay in place. You're not going to go to the store and spread along to so and so's great auntie who's 80 years old, who could potentially, the health effects could be steeper than someone who's our age. That's a big one. Sure, I think when you're looking at something like this, we have to look bigger picture. Yes, our circle, yes, our extended family, but what about the things that we do in our daily lives and how that can impact somebody else? So I look at it from that perspective. I think that's a big one. But the other piece, I think, I don't know if this is a bigger piece or not, but if the numbers are wrong, right? So you don't know how many people have it, you don't know how the virus evolves with each person that can have it, because guess what? You're not testing anybody. So how can you truly treat it if you're not testing everybody? That's what I see. Yeah, those are the two big pieces I see with
Not
not
tested.
testing, because it's not a, yeah, that's, I mean, but those are two big pieces, right? Knowing if you got to know your numbers, right? So what are the numbers? We don't know the numbers because nobody's being tested. So how do we treat it? I don't know. If the top 1% of rich people are getting tested and treated, great. That's the top 1%. But what
What
about
about
everybody
everybody else?
else?
Right. I agree. I agree.
I mean, that's the piece. And I don't know. I guess, I am not. What did you say to me yesterday? Folks, there really are no restrictions that are coming from, our state as opposed to like travel from other states. We're not at a
Right.
peak right now. Same thing for South Carolina. We're not peaking or we're not at a hot
Right.
spot. So, what are your thoughts about, traveling from some of those hot spots to areas that are not hot spots?
Well, I'm gonna be honest with you. Not being considered a hot spot has been beneficial because as you're aware of, I really am in a happy, healthy relationship, but it's a long distance relationship. So I travel from North Carolina to South Carolina frequently. However, I'm going to be honest, even with that being said, I'm going to be real honest. How do they even know what's a hot spot? Just like you said earlier, like everybody is not being tested. How do you know? What, how, who's to say that we're not the hot spot?
And we just don't
You
know.
know, so I'm gonna be honest. I'm gonna look at it from both aspects. Yeah, it's convenient for me because I'm in a long distance relationship and I can see my bae pretty much without interruption. And we've been kind of quarantining ourselves anyway, going out when necessary, going out. To make sure that the court orders are taken care of, because I do have court orders for the kids and stuff like that. So that stuff, it has to be done. However, the reality is you do not know, because some of these people that's coming up with this coronavirus are saying, "Hey, I haven't been out of the country. Hey, I haven't been here. I haven't been there. How did I get it?" So it's scary.
Yeah, because if you're not testing, how do you know? And I don't mean this is not funny. This might be a little bit of hysterical laughter here because sometimes it happens to me. But if we're not testing, we have no real accurate depiction of what counties, what areas right. are real hotspots. If you're not testing everybody, I mean, I think they clearly can tell when you're looking at certain regions, right?
Right.
You see the stories that are coming out from there. You can, it's pretty evident that it is a hotspot. But when you start looking to more suburban or is it rural? Is
that right.
So more rural suburban areas, if you're not testing everyone, because yes, there's a concern of overwhelming hospitals, which is valid, but you still don't know the numbers.
Right.
You don't know the numbers.
Right. They have ideas and they have statistics, but nothing is concrete. For all I know, heck, I could be having it. How do I know? Because another thing that we have to think about too is misdiagnosis.
Are the tests accurate?
Has a fever and that is coughing is going to have the damn coronavirus. But yet, if you even sneeze or cough, you're scared as fuck. Excuse me. For, excuse my language. I'm just being honest.
It's the truth. Like, if you have allergies, which we know this is, for where we are, it's allergy season because we see that green pollen all over our damn cars and it's, you know, the trees are starting to bud. So if you have allergies, now some of these symptoms are very similar. Right. So what the hell?
So right. So how do you know the difference between common cold, flu, and now coronavirus and God knows what else? Because everybody keeps talking about those three diseases, but it's way more stuff out there.
Mm-hmm.
So what about misdiagnosis? Oh, you know what? Dang, this person didn't even have a coronavirus.
Right, I mean, it could be the flu. Right. It could still be the flu.
Correct. Like, not everybody that has certain symptoms doesn't mean they have that particular thing, but people are so scared. You know, I'm scared to cough in public. I'm scared I might get beat up. Like, I'm in this grocery store. I better hold it in.
Yeah, I mean, and I know that there are people out there who are skeptic, and I'm sure, right? Because you're like, this sounds like BS. Because of flu deaths and what have you, it's more than whatever. I will tell you that I don't believe this is BS. Because if you're looking at what's coming from you know, the data that's coming out from these hot spots, it's real shit. I know of one person that I personally have known throughout the years that actually did get it. And this is, you know, one person removed, but someone that I'm close with has two family members that have it. One serious, one with mild symptoms. So for the people who think that this is bullshit and it's some sort of hoax, it's not. Because there are people that are being heavily impacted by this.
Right.
And just try to be safe. People, just try to be safe. And think, don't just, you know, think about big picture. And this is the worst time. This is the best time, rather, to have more compassion for your neighbor, wherever your neighbor is, wherever you want to see that. But this is the best time as any to think about your neighbors, whether if it's making sure so-and-so down the road is able to get their groceries. And if they can't, maybe pick up a load for them because they can't get out. Maybe they're at higher risk. This is the perfect time to befriend our neighbor and making sure that we're taking care of each other.
And the hoarding. Can we please talk about the hoarding, sis? The hoarding.
Heck yeah. What's up with the lack of toilet paper?
Like, you talking about helping your neighbor, but people are really tripping. Like, you can't hardly go in a store and get anything, and they're limiting how many meats you can buy. And I'm like, what? How can y'all limit how many meats someone can buy? What if they have a larger family? Two packs of meat for my family and two packs of meat for somebody else's family is two different things. Two packs of meat for my household, right, would mean I would have to come right back out here tomorrow and get something else.
So putting yourself further at a risk of exposure.
And you're putting me at risk because I have to constantly leave. Because now you're saying, oh, only two packs of meat. What? You know, so they have, so if people would stop being that selfish, like I surprised the hell out of somebody because I was in one of the stores, and this is when it first started hitting, and I was trying to grab like canned goods. And chicken soup is always good, especially when any kind of cold or anything. So I'm a big chicken soup type of person, like homemade or in the can. And so it was chicken soup down there. And I was getting the cans of soup, and the guy was like, ah, dang, that's the chicken soup. And I was snatching them up. Well, not snatching them up, but, you know, I was trying to get them because it was like the last couple of cans that were down there. And you should have seen his surprised face when he was like, oh, that's chicken soup. And I hand him two cans, like, here. Like, what the heck is the problem? Like, why, like, you know what I'm
saying? Yep. Like, even, like, we've I don't know, we're doing our best to not kind of put ourselves out there, but we ended up making a pit stop at the grocery store recently. And, you know, my husband is the one who's kind of going out. We can drive together, but he's going inside the store. And he saw, like, there wasn't a lot there for certain things that we were trying to get, like tuna or I think it was pancake mix and milk and stuff like that. There wasn't a lot there.
Right.
But he didn't take everything that he saw. He took, like, there was two boxes of pancake mix, but he picked up one. He picked up, like, three cans of tuna just to kind of allow for someone else who may also be in need
right.
to get some, too. You don't have to buy all eight cans. Or whatever the number was, I forget what it was,
right?
But you know, you don't have to buy both boxes, you know, leave something for your neighbor or whatever, because you just never know,
right?
So I agree with you. You know, I understand, yes, we need to kind of stock up as much as we can because we don't want to put ourselves at risk, but at the same time, we do have to think of our neighbors, and you know, certainly our senior citizens who are even at higher risk. Let's leave something for other people out there. The toilet paper. Like, dude, I'm in a bunch of different Facebook groups and you've got people saying, has anyone seen toilet paper? I'm down to like my last roll. Like, seriously.
Yeah.
Toilet paper?
And then the other thing is, people were acting so fools. I told you what I went and did. Y'all in there fighting over toilet paper. I'm going to get me some ammo.
Right. Yeah. Sorry, my throat is scratchy. Yeah, I apologize. I don't know what the editing side is going to look like, so I'm like but yeah, I mean, it's real. Like, even families are having to have conversations about, well, if shit all goes to hell in a handbasket, how are we going to protect our family? So do we need to have a shotgun? Do we need to have a handheld? You know, is this something that...
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And that's definitely something that needs to be looked at. Because what I'm looking at, look, when people are scared, when people are in fear, it's self-preservation. Okay? The average person... When people are in fear, when they don't know what's going to happen, when they're like, okay, we're out of food, what are we going to do? You know what I'm saying? Ain't no telling. I literally had one of my coworkers that used to work with me literally tell me how they heard the police almost all night long because people were actually literally breaking into places at night, almost every single night, two or three or four different places getting broken into because people were just stealing whatever they could get their hands on.
Oh, not like food, like a necessity.
No,
I can't even excuse that shit. Like,
yeah, there was food. That's what I'm saying. What I'm saying, when people get desperate, think about the people that may not have had money to go shopping. They're going to do what they have to do, right?
Yeah.
Right? So you never know what someone might do. Because I know I'll do anything for my family. I'm not going to let my family be hungry.
Yeah, but hey, if you got money for ammo and guns and you got some money for some damn food, and I mean, where's your priority at?
No, listen, this is what I'm saying here. These, when people get desperate, they can come into your house. That's why I said it's good to have ammo.
Yeah. No, I know that's what you're saying, but I'm like, yeah. If people, yeah, I get it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's very disturbing, you know, like what, and having to even have the conversation, or, you know, I grew up in the city. We didn't have guns in our household, but my husband is a military man. He's very familiar with guns. He knows what he's doing. He knows his way around it. But when you grew up like I did, you didn't have guns in your house. And someone I know personally said, is it the best? If you have, like, it's either, if you have a gun in the house, you're either a cop or a criminal. What, which one is it?
Okay.
And that's kind of the mindset that we grew up on.
I do not agree. And I'm going to tell you why I do not agree with that.
Well, I'm not done. That's how we grew up. You know, like, we didn't have guns in our household. But when you look at what it looks like in the South, everyone got a gun. Hey, ain't nothing wrong with it. Right. So you kind of have to, you know, bend a little and kind of come to some sort of consensus. But now more than ever, having to have that conversation of, hey, do we, you know, like, I can't imagine how many families are having this conversation right now.
Well, to be perfectly honest, I'm going to be real with you. I have not had a gun in my house since I was a police officer. And that child that I left the department, I think, when he was born. He wasn't born. He was about 6 months when I left the department. And so that child right now to this day is 13. So I had not had any type of weapons in my house since he was 13 until now. When I see how these people are behaving, look, you're not coming in here with that.
Mm-hmm.
You're not.
Yeah, but it's a different mindset. Right? It's also a different time. You know, I mean, I can't tell you how many, you know, conversations I've had because, you know, I worked in the field. And you know, these are conversations I've had over the years with, you know, some of my customers. They're like, hey, this is the South. This is the South. You'd be hard pressed to find a home without one.
Right.
So, yeah, it's different. So it's, you know, if it's an interesting time that, you know, if you don't have one, folks are saying, hey, we need to get one. Or if you've got it already, you're like, hey, let me get this ammo.
Right.
You know, like, come on. Now.
Right.
Yes. But it's legit. It's legitimate. Legitimate concerns. You know, it's either me or you. Who's it going to be? Not me.
Right. Right. If I have to make, even when I was a cop and I had a weapon, that was one of the things that I used to pray about before I started my day. Before I started my night shift, you know, hey, God, you know, if it comes between me and them, let me be able to do whatever I have to do to get home. Period.
Yeah. And, yeah. And I'm not, yeah. But, and it's valid, you know, I mean, you and, you know, we have other family members who are also in law enforcement and legit, you know, so it is that, well, hey, our family's going to come first. So you do everything you need to do to protect yourself.
That's right.
And that's such a bigger conversation. Another conversation. We're talking about protecting our families during the corona.
Right. Right.
But, you know, so, I mean, for folks who are listening, you know, you're not alone in the conversations that we're having to have. Because they're very different from the conversations that we've had just a month ago.
Right. Right. If you would have asked me a month ago about, if you would have asked me a month ago about having a weapon in my house, I don't know if you remember, but remember I was having that other situation. And I was like, I would have a weapon, but, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then here it is. Was that even a month ago? That might have been a little bit longer than a month ago, right?
I think it was a little bit longer. Yeah
but, you know, longer. I would have like, oh, yeah, I would like to. But, you know, but now?
It's like, oh, no. Let's make sure we got enough
ammo. Let's make sure we have some ammo. Let's make sure we have something. And not just that, but I'm gonna tell you this too. And this is just my personal opinion. Like, I regret not teaching my kids how to handle weapons. Like, I had a book that I allowed them to read, you know, when I used to be a cop, but they was a lot younger. And like I said, because it had been so long since I felt a reason to even have anything like that in the house, I never felt the need. And now we're here and we're in this situation, and I'm like, yo, I should have so taught them before now about being safe and how to shoot if you have to, period.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's a different time. I mean, this is not the first time in our lifetimes where we've had to say this is a different time, right?
Right.
But this is so different. This is so different.
When you're dealing with scared people, ain't no telling what may happen.
Yeah.
And that's why I was like, the best place to be is with each other. I mean, I hate that. Well, no, I don't hate. Let me not say that. But, you know, with the court orders that I have in place, I do kind of have to have times where we're not going to be together. And that's scary for me. That's scary. It's scary because I'm like, okay, is that person... It's hard for, I think, this is just my personal opinion, as a mother, it's hard for me to think anybody else doing what it takes to make sure. I know I'm going to do whatever it takes, but having to have that confidence with somebody else is hard. You know what I mean?
What do you mean?
Like, when my children are with me and they're in my eye view, you know what I'm trying to say? When they're with me,
gotcha.
You know, I'm gonna run through the fire.
Yeah.
To make it happen. You know, and sometimes as a parent, you don't even think about it; you just do it. It's hard trusting that someone else is gonna have that reaction when it comes to the safety. Mm-hmm. Of your kids.
Yeah. You're right.
And so that's a struggle for me. Is releasing that.
Yeah. I mean, I think we're really lucky because our two oldest are, you know, they don't live in the same state. They're in a completely different state. But I'm confident that who they're with right now will go above and beyond to the end of the earth, which makes me worry a little bit less because I know they're in good hands.
Right.
I know they're in good hands. And that makes me feel relieved. Not to say that I'm not worried, because obviously I am.
Right.
But I know that they're okay because they're with family that we know we can trust.
Right. And I'm not saying that I don't trust.
Yeah.
That's not what I mean. I just mean.
No, I got you. I know exactly what you mean.
Right.
So I know folks who are listening, you know, this is a really tough time for everybody. Everyone's just kind of taking it ideally day by day, trying not to stress out. But we are going to do our best to bring you things that are relevant, possibly help during this very difficult time. You know, we're going to get some folks to talk about how to manage stress and anxiety during times like these, you know, tips on homeschooling. So we're going to bring you things that are relevant to what's happening right now. And of course, it's so scary and so serious. We don't want to, you know, we don't want to leave you guys on a bad note. So we're going to do our best with each episode. We're going to do our best with each episode to leave off with some good news. Just to kind of keep your spirits up, certainly our spirits up. But, you know, when Janine and I were going over, you know, just kind of doing a run through of this episode and what we thought was important, I think the big thing was, hey, you know what? We use this, we can use this as an opportunity to be with our loved ones, right? That's good news.
Absolutely. Right. And not just being with them, but also what entered my mind was getting to know them. You know, sometimes we find out stuff about our kids that we didn't even know. When you have more time with him, oh, you know, I didn't even know he was good at that. Did you know that? Did you know he could sing? You know what I'm saying? Like, did you know he could write? Like, I didn't even know that. You know what I mean? Like, so it gives us the time to learn, you know, about each other. So what I was thinking about is that this also gives us time to get to know each other. Not just spend time with each other, but actually get to know each other. Because sometimes in times like this, we find out stuff about each other that we didn't know. Like, you know what? I didn't even realize that he had that talent. Or I didn't even realize she could do that. Especially with, like, do-it-yourself projects. It's a lot of that. I have to do a lot of that. I have to do a lot of put this meal together because this is what we have and this is what we have to make work. So it has its goods and it has its downs. And then, you know, I told you that, you know, I'm actually in a, you know, healthy, happy relationship.
Mm-hmm. So that's definitely good news. Yep. Good news.
And, yeah. And it's different. And so you have to be thankful a lot of times for the things that you lost, because if you didn't lose those things, you wouldn't, like, if I wouldn't have went through the first ordeal, I wouldn't have even opened myself up to move in another direction, which I'm happy I did. It's one of those happy for the things that you lost. Because you gained something totally better. Gained something totally better.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. So, there is good news out there, folks. So I think the best thing is to hold on to the good things more so than the bad things. You know, like Janine said, we both agree, we get to spend more time with our families and we even get to learn more about some of the things that maybe we're missing because our lives are so busy. Right. You know, new relationships, certainly that's an absolute win, and healthier relationships, an absolute win. You know, we've got a graduate, an early graduate, hooray.
My oldest daughter, graduated early, and I'm happy when I think about it. I'm like, yo, I didn't want her to graduate early. I don't even know if you remember I had that conversation with you. See, I was like, no, I don't want her to graduate early. I want her to do the whole thing. And she was like, nope, I want to get out early. And now I'm like, ain't God good, because she graduated early, so she doesn't even have to face some of the battles that, unfortunately, some of these other 12th graders that were waiting until June.
That's what it is in our house. Yep.
Yeah. Yep. So, you know, she doesn't even have to face any of that because she's already graduated. She already has her diploma. The only thing that she'll miss out on, of course, is the prom. And she wasn't interested in doing that anyway. And I'll just be honest, like, we discussed that one too. And and she won't get to walk. They'll have to do, I don't know how they're going to do that, but they won't do the whole walking of the stage. Which is one of the parts for parents that we love, right? Like, yes, I got one out of there, you know? But,
So, you know, some other good news is we've got, you know, I'm in a field that is essential, and but it is also, I don't know what they, like, I can't use my words. I am in an essential field, but if I don't work, I don't get paid. So I am still working, but my business is picking up, which is huge. You know, I took some, I mean, I had some setbacks because I'm used to working a certain way.
Right.
But I have had more conversations in my business that are very promising. So I'm excited about that. And I think for, hey, our listeners, we're happy to be back. That's good news. We're happy to be back for you guys.
Right.
This is a challenging time, and we wanted to help bring you content to help alleviate some of that stress that you might be experiencing with what's happening now. So, yeah, we're back. Good news.
The best and all the news. I think that's one of them.
So, again, always, thank you very much for listening. Thank you very much for being patient while we were on hiatus. But we're back. We're here for you. And we're thinking of ways that we want to be more of a source of support. And stay tuned on that.
Thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening to the Alps Now podcast with Janine and Tanya. For a full episode guide, go to their website at alpsnow.com. You can also follow them at facebook.com/alpsnow.